Jack, what's up again for Charlie Kirk while he's on assignment in Wisconsin? We speak to Libby Emmons, the editor-in-chief of the Post-Millennial, about a very serious topic, the medical mutilation of our children done in the name of gender affirmation. This is being done at children's hospitals across the country. And we got a lot of emails on this one, but I want to make sure everyone knows this is a serious topic. It's maybe not meant for little ears, but every parent in America needs to hear what Libby has to say. We also have a huge announcement with our partners over at Salem Now. If you go to Salem Now, starting tomorrow, you will be able to watch the explosive new documentary, Border Battle, that's been put out by Turning Point USA. It's only available at Salem Now. This documentary, Border Battle, you sit down with Border Patrol agents, even ones who are currently serving, law enforcement, special forces. And this thing, I got to tell you, it's gory, it's graphic, and we tell you the truth about the cartel wars that have been spilling over across the southern border. Border Battle Salem Now. Go watch it immediately tomorrow.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Charlie Kirk on assignment in the Rust Belt. He's traveling to Wisconsin with Senator Ron Johnson. We're up there to explain to the American people, to the workers of this country, as Charlie would say, the muscular class, the people who take showers before and after work, explain to them what's happened to our country. Explain to them what's happened to our trade, what's happened to our manufacturing, the fact that our oil and energy policy was outsourced to the Middle East. In the name of empire, our manufacturing was outsourced to East Asia, again, in the name of empire. So who benefits? Cui bono? The imperialists. And they've become fat and rich off of the backs of our labor, slave labor in many cases, and off of the wealth of the Middle East. They made the Middle East incredibly wealthy. The Saudis, the Iranians, why do you think they have all the money they do now? It's quite simple. The spice must flow, right? Well, the spice can flow here in the United States as well. We have our own spice now. We don't need theirs. But because this is led, in addition to the rapid financialization of our markets, all the way back to 2008, the money printer has not stopped since 2008, since the financial crisis. We have yet to actually recover from the mass financialization that's gone on since then. They call it quantitative easing. Isn't that so great? They're pumping money, trillions of dollars into our system, and they call it easing. They said it's easing. It's not easing. You're printing money nonstop, and you're handing it off to your friends at BlackRock and Blackstone. And they're using it to purchase up the agricultural producing land, the food producing land. They're purchasing up homes. They're purchasing up entire divisions, subdivisions, everything. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. Where have I heard that before? Oh, right. Right before Klaus Schwab sent his thugs out to go and frisk me and my team when we were in Davos, Switzerland. But the more money they have, the more affluent they become, the crazy has just turned up at an exponential level. And I wanted to bring in Libby Emmons here, the great Libby Emmons, editor-in-chief of the Post-Millennial, to break down this horrifying story that she has an exclusive of out of New York, in addition to the fact of all the news that she's been breaking out of Philadelphia, so much so when it comes to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, that the Philadelphia Inquirer is attacking her and attacking me simply for doing our jobs and simply for doing the job of reporting what the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia gender unit, what their co-founder is up to using her own words and statements. Libby Emmons, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks so much, Jack. Glad to be here. I did not know that the Inky was attacking us. The Inky is attacking us.
They are.
The hometown paper?
So I know, right? Well, so it's what's interesting is that the Inquirer, when you and I were growing up, the Inquirer was the paper of record for the area. Now it's just considered another left-wing rag. I don't actually know anyone who still reads it, but for a lot of people, it's like many of these institutions that the new wokerati use as skin suits, basically, to push their agenda and then use the imprimatur. You see this as well with CNN, the Washington Post, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal in some cases, certainly with Rolling Stone magazine, so many others. They just wear these labels and they say, well, if the Inquirer wrote it, must be true.
Mm-hmm. The same thing is true of the New York Times. Very similar situations. Totally.
So which one do you want to tackle first? Let's go through. Producer Andrew says wokerati sounds like an amazing sports car. Okay, you can buy the first one. So Libby, let's
it's
break
electric,
down though.
So
it is electric, so be careful. Yeah, not gonna be doing those turns down in Monaco. But let's talk about your exclusive, because it is your exclusive out of New York State, everything that's going up there in this case, this horrifying case. I believe it's a custody battle that's also turned into a battle for the gender of a man's daughter.
Yes, that's correct. This is a pretty difficult story to stomach. I could imagine that a lot of parents would find it very difficult to hear about. This family, the marriage is coming to an end, which already is its own tragedy. And then it turns out that there is a difficulty between the parents over whether or not the girl child, the daughter, should be a boy or should be let to grow up as a girl. So the father is very insistent that the child should not go on what are called puberty blockers, which suppress the natural development from child into adult, and are substantially dangerous drugs that are being pushed as though they are candy and can just, you know, no big deal. So the father does not want this to happen. The mother has told him that she would die on this hill. The law guardian who has been appointed in the case to look out for the best interest of the child has said to the father that there's not much time. If they want to get the child on these drugs, they have to act now because she is entering puberty. And also they have spoken to a nurse practitioner at the Golisano Children's Hospital in Rochester, who has also advocated for the use of these drugs. The child has already been socially transitioned at the school, meaning that the school calls the child by a new boy's name, allows her to use boys' bathrooms, and also refers to her with male pronouns.
I want to tell you about one of the most important organizations in the country, created by co-founder of the Home Depot, Bernie Marcus. The folks at Job Creators Network defend and advance policies that help small business owners across America grow their business. We talk a lot about labor in the media, and we're always responding to the complaints of labor, and that's fine. Obviously, it's important, but who actually creates the jobs that labor actually is able to enjoy? Big business has their lobbyists, but small ones don't always have the time or money to defend themselves against the forces of global corporations and their crony capitalist pals in the kingdom of Washington, D.C. Job Creators Network, that's right, Job Creators Network fights for small business owners across America, and they're looking for a few good men and women to join their growing army of small business advocates. They'll train you to be the face and voice of Main Street in your communities and beyond. To learn more, go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com. That is jobcreatorsnetwork.com. Small business is the heartbeat, the backbone, the lifeblood of our economy and the American dream. Learn how you can join this growing army of advocates. Go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com now and hit the red join button. If you are a small business owner, if you're involved, go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com. That is jobcreatorsnetwork.com.
So Libby, this is horrifying. For folks that aren't as familiar with some of these new terms that the left is so fantastic at coming up with. They're constantly coming up with something new, something beyond. And let's boil it down to brass tacks. So they're euphemisms, of course, but they're trying to call something horrifying as if it's just benign and normal and routine. When they say social transition, they mean they're calling someone a false name. They mean they're calling, they are perpetuating a lie that this girl is now a boy, and that they are going and they're making it that everyone else has to refer to her by this name in their classroom, everyone else at the school. And if I remember correctly from your reporting, the court as well has said that the father, when he has, I guess he has visitations, that during those visits, he must refer to his daughter by the new name. He cannot even call his daughter her own name, the name that he and his wife at the time gave her. He is forbidden by law, the new law of the state of New York, to even call her her own name. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That is what the court has determined. So interestingly, the court also said that neither parent can speak to the child about gender, but they did say, as I reported, that the parents must refer to her, including the father who disagrees with this entirely, must refer to the daughter as a boy, must use the male name, and must use male pronouns. So in saying that you're not allowed to talk to the child about gender, but you must go along with the gender identity, it's almost as though the court is bypassing its own order right at the outset in favor of medically gender transitioning this child, who is only 11 years old.
So we're talking about an 11-year-old. And there, and what's the current situation? So it's a custody dispute. And so the father doesn't want to have the daughter transition, but it's the mother that's driving this. Is that what's going on?
Yes, that's my understanding after talking to the father, that this is something the mother initiated when the child was. So it's interesting. If you track back, the child was interested in going into beauty pageants, was very interested in frilly, girly things at about 6 or 7 years old, and did attend a beauty pageant, from my understanding. It was after that, when she was about 8 or so, she started to get a cursory understanding of puberty and of growing up, realized that she did not want to undergo menstruation, which is understandable, did not want to undergo increased breast size, and said that she wanted to be a boy. And it was right around that age that the mother started working to, as I said, socially transition the child, to change her name at school, to change pronouns, to change the way that she was treated instead of a girl as a boy. The father had said, you know, it doesn't matter what clothes she wears. It doesn't matter if she's not interested in girl things. None of those things make you female. Your biology makes you female, and there's no way to change that. But he discovered after about a year of these conversations that his wife...
Wait, hold on. I'll pull a baton here. This was going on for a year before the father even knew? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, that's what he expressed to me. Yeah, that his wife had been keeping it from him.
So they were doing this to his own daughter. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like, sometimes Tanya will take our kids to swim class. But even then, you know, so which class do you want to go to? Which one makes sense for the schedule, et cetera, right. You know, survival swimming for the little one. But even then, of course, we're in communication. Obviously, we're together. Mm-hmm. These guys, it sounds like they're divorced. But she's doing something where she's perpetuating a change in their own daughter, his own daughter, a daughter they're supposed to share together against his wishes. And now there's something you've mentioned in your reporting that I wanted to break down a little bit. And that was called gender affirming. What is the standard? Right. And that is the standard of care. What is gender affirming? What does that mean?
Gender affirming is a totally manufactured, made up term meant to cover up a lot of really heavy duty medical procedures and treatments, including, as we said, puberty blockers, which the FDA has already said are dangerous, can lead to brain swelling. The manufacturer of these drugs, Lupron, just made by pharmaceutical company AbbVie, has said that people should not be on these drugs for more than 3 months, does not recommend them for gender affirmation, despite the vast increase in sales that they have had. So that's one aspect. Gender affirming care also means giving cross-sex hormones after puberty blockers to teens to encourage the growth of secondary sex characteristics of the opposite sex. So this will see boys develop breasts, girls develop facial hair. It will also lead to the atrophy of reproductive systems and sterility. Gender-affirming care also means double mastectomies of healthy breasts for girls and penile inversions and the creation of what they call a neovagina, or the appearance of the sex organs of the opposite sex.
This is a horrifying situation.
This is called care.
This is a horrifying situation for any parent. And the idea that behind, and the philosophy behind this, I know this is heady stuff and I know it's lunchtime for a lot of people out there. I'm sorry, but you need to listen to this because any parent that could be caught in a similar situation needs to understand that this nightmare is going on in our own country right now in the state of New York, probably going on in other states. This is just one brave father who didn't know what else to do. So he came forward to you. And this idea that gender affirming care, that if the child says they want to change their gender, then you must affirm it. There's no diagnosis. There's no testing. There's no discussion over what's the best for the child. No, they push them right into this stuff. They put them right into the program because they want to get you as young as possible.
Are you like every one of us that thinks our country has gone nuts, whether it's Russiagate, market crashes, or selling oil to China, or this insane inflation? Well, right now, you need a financial mind who understands your concerns, but at the same time has a Christian worldview of money. That's why you should talk to my friends at Pax Financial Group. Look, I've given my money to Pax Financial to manage. If it's good enough for me, I think it's good for you. Like all of us, they have concerns, but they also have hope. In this market, you must have a financial person who shares your hope and at the same time can help you with biblical responsible investing, BRI, biblical responsible investing. That's why I want you to text the word CHARLIE to 74868. That is CHARLIE to 74868 to connect with my friends at the Pax Financial Group. Biblical responsible investing. So take out your phone, just text CHARLIE to 74868. That's 74868. Text CHARLIE to connect with my great friends at the Pax Financial Group.
Libby, break down for us, what have we learned? I want to be serious about this. We were talking, the terms you used were penile inversions and neo-vaginas.
Correct.
Is this type of stuff going on in children's hospitals across our country?
Yes. So there are gender clinics all over the country at children's hospitals. Many of these clinics treat patients up to 25 years old, and many of them say outright that they would not do what they call bottom surgery or genital surgery, what we think of as sex change surgery. They would not do this on people under 18. However, many of these organizations, these hospitals, follow what are called WPATH guidelines, which are coming from the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, which specifies that in some cases, surgeries could be performed at lower ages if there are, you know, mitigating circumstances and everyone thinks this is the right thing to do. So we do know that there have been cases of these kinds of surgeries being performed on people under the age of 18. And certainly double mastectomies are performed on healthy girls and their healthy breasts down to the ages of 13. And this was true of a gender clinic in Texas. There is a doctor in Miami, Florida, who does this and calls this practice of double mastectomies of healthy breasts yeeting the teats. That's actually what she says. She advertises her services on social media and gains clients this way and posts very dramatic photos of herself with young girls who she has operated on with gaping wounds and gashes where their breasts should be. This is called care in our country. Many other countries have forbidden this. In the UK, they have shut down their primary gender clinic and they have to reassess it after realizing that it just was not actually good for people. In France, there is a heavy caution on use of puberty blockers. In Sweden, they have said outright no, that they're not going to do this anymore. In the US, we are so driven by profit and the children's hospitals are as well. So it's at all of these clinics. It's at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. The founder, one of the co-founders of the gender clinic at CHOP, which you've spoken about, it's such a renowned hospital.
Need to understand that, that when you're in that area, it's growing up in Philadelphia, God forbid something happens to one of the kids. You go to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. They were the number one hospital for children in the entire country. They are beloved.
Yes.
They are sacrosanct. Everyone trusts them. You know, if something happens to your little boy or little girl, you take them to CHOP, God forbid, and they will make them better. You will get the best standard of care there, period. That's how important that name is. When we hear these stories about how she's recruiting children from homeless shelters like Covenant House, going into the foster system, because sure, the foster kids aren't messed up as it is. They're not faced with vulnerable, tense, high stress, traumatic situations. And now you're injecting these types of experiments and procedures on these children. And the founder of the gender unit there, I'm not even going to call it a clinic because it's an experimentation unit. So the gender experimentation unit at CHOP, what they're doing is they're proud of it. And by the way, they've instituted a dark alliance with Dr. Rachel Levine, AG Josh Shapiro, to give them the air cover on this. The ACLU's coming in talking about it. The AMA saying you and I should be prosecuted. By the way, I'm serious. The AMA just put out something today or yesterday saying that journalists should be prosecuted by the Department of Justice for reporting on physicians that are performing these experiments. They just said that today. Libby, what's your final thoughts on all of this?
There is just one more thing I wanted to say about puberty blockers and the harm that they can cause. One of the reasons that Nina Dowshin at CHOP gives for prescribing puberty blockers is that they will prevent the need for future surgeries. And she says that because they stunt growth. They stunt the development of secondary sex characteristics. So if you are a girl, you're not going to develop breasts. If you are a boy, you're going to end up shorter. They also have, with them comes bone loss and other issues. So when people say that these drugs are completely reversible, they are ignoring even the evidence of the own of their own doctors who prescribe these drugs.
This is absolutely horrific. Libby, where can people, what are your coordinates? Where can people follow you?
I'm at the Post Millennial every day, and I'm on Twitter and Truth Social at Libby Emmons.
You can find we will see you there. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe. Jack Posobiec, guest hosting for Charlie Kirk. Go to salemnow.com right now because it's just premiered the Turning Point documentary, Border Battle. You need to watch this, understand the truth of the cartel wars and violence that is spilling over across the border from Mexico into the United States. The Mexican government has lost control and the cartels are winning. Border Battle, salemnow.com. Thanks again.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.